natural. It's an abomination.
You were the hermaphrodite cheerleader from Long Island?
Oh, no!
It's Cooper and Anthony.
So I have this friend, Brittany, who is a, she works for one of these travel sites.
Mm-hmm.
And one of her jobs is to kind of go through their complaint department. Basically, she is their complaint department. So every once in a while, she'll put them together and she'll post them. So she had a few that I thought I would run by you because I just thought this is hilarious. These are some complaints that they got this year on their travel site. Okay. Somebody actually wrote to them and said, you know, they should not allow topless sunbathing on the beach. It was very distracting to go on vacation with my husband. He just wanted to relax. There were these boobs everywhere.
Put the boobs away. He hates them. He doesn't like looking at boobs all the time.
We're on vacation. He's trying to relax. Stop it.
I think that helps you relax, actually. Because then you don't have to think about, I wonder what her boobies look like.
On my holiday to India, I was disgusted to find that almost every restaurant we went to served curry. I don't like spicy food.
Didn't want to eat Indian in India.
We went on holiday to Spain, and while the trip was great, the problem we had was that all the taxi drivers only spoke Spanish.
Wow.
This is my favorite one. I love this one. We booked an excursion through your site to a water park, but nobody told us we had to bring our own swimsuits and towels. We assumed
no.
It was included in the price.
No. I can see the towels.
Yeah.
But not... Oh, come on.
They don't provide swimsuits. What do you think? They have swimsuits like a big giant Kleenex box. They just pull out a swimsuit and give it to the next person.
Yeah, that's a thing that you have to shop for weeks to find the right one.
Yeah. No, I'm with her on towels. If you pay a lot of money and you're going to a water park, okay, maybe you don't know. If you've never been to one before, you got to bring your own towels. But I can see if you're spending a lot of money, you assume they're providing towels. But swimsuits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I always think because hotels give you towels. So I wouldn't think to bring a towel.
Yeah.
To a water park. Well, so
if you go to a water park, you got to bring a towel.
Oh.
The beach was too sandy. We had to clean everything every time we returned to our room.
They didn't complain about that.
They did.
No.
Yep, yep, yep. In fact, they went on to say, and by the way, on the website, the sand didn't look like it did on the website. The sand was very white, but when we got there, it was a little more yellow.
Wow. They don't control the sand.
Yeah. Now, this is interesting because every year my family, we take a vacation. We go to Mexico. We go to Puerto Vallarta. That's our place.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to Puerto Vallarta, you know that they do the siesta thing. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do. You know that whatever you got to do, get it done before 4:00. And then there's a siesta time and then you can come back for dinner later. So somebody actually wrote to my friend's website and said, you know, the shopkeepers in Puerto Vallarta are very lazy. They close in the afternoon when I needed to buy things. Whatever the siesta time is, it should be banned.
I don't know what that is. What is that? So for an hour during the day, they close or what?
Yeah. Listen, in New York, they do that in a lot of restaurants where they when they switch over from lunch to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
They close for a couple from like 3 to 5 so that they can turn the kitchen over and clean and whatever and the staff can eat, that kind of stuff. But in Mexico, a lot of places in Mexico, especially Puerto Vallarta, they have a siesta time where it's basically like the shops, everything closes by, I think it's 4:00. And they close for about an hour or two, depending on the store and where you are. And they basically just like take some downtime. You know, a siesta. They take a nap. They go eat lunch. They go home. They see their families. They, you know, they take a couple hours and have a life. It's not all work, work, work like Americans. But I love the idea of going to another country and expecting them to behave.
Like Brooklyn people.
Yeah, like Brooklyn people. Let's see. Nobody told us there'd be fish in the water. The children were scared.
I can see if you go to a pool, and there's fish in the water, that's probably a problem. But if you go to the lake or the ocean, there's probably creatures in there.
The brochure said there was a fully equipped kitchen. There was no egg slicer in any of the drawers.
No. Isn't that called a knife?
An egg slicer.
Egg slicer. Like,
that's your big priority when you're on vacation. Let's see. I think it should be explained on the website that the local convenience store does not sell good cookies. I like certain cookies. The local convenience store didn't have any of those cookies.
Why do people leave the house? If you're going to complain about the cookies in the store, don't leave the house.
It took us 9 hours to fly home from Jamaica to England. It took Americans only 3. This is unfair. Well, you see, America is closer to Jamaica than England is. Do you understand how maps work? That's a funny one. I love that. I love that somebody complained about that. I compared the size of our one-bedroom suite to our friend's 3-bedroom. Ours was significantly smaller.
Oh, really? Because you had 2 less bedrooms.
That was a complaint that my friend Brittany had to deal with. She actually had to respond to the person and say, well... This is my favorite thing. She had to actually explain to the woman that it says the size of the room. The woman expected like a 1-bedroom was going to be just a big, giant 1-bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then a 3-bedroom was just the same size, but just, you know, you get more bedrooms.
But that's not how it works in real life.
It says on the website specifically what the square footage is in per room. And my friend had to literally do a screenshot of both of those and send it to the woman and be like, hi, it was right there on the website. Sorry you missed this.
Yeah, we're not trying to hide anything from you.
Yeah. You got to be, you know, got to be nice about it. Somebody else very upset. We had a lineup outside to catch a boat. There was no air conditioning outside.
None on the outside?
No air conditioning outdoors. Wow. I got bitten by a mosquito. The website said nothing about mosquitoes.
No, you can't complain about that.
Yeah. My fiance and I requested twin beds when we booked, but instead we were placed in a room with a king bed. We now hold you responsible and want to be reimbursed for the fact that I became pregnant. This would not have happened if you put us in a room with 2 separate beds like I asked for.
I didn't want him laying on top of me.
Had we had separate beds, we wouldn't have had sex. But you put us in the same bed, you know, so now I'm pregnant and it's going to cost us extra money because we have a kid and we got to pay for the kid.
This is a stupid show.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
So I went on Twitter at some point today, and my cousin Vinny was trending.
Is it possible to 2 utes?
To what? What was that word?
What word?
To what?
What?
Did you say utes?
Yeah, 2 utes.
What is a ute?
Well, remember, what they're going to show you trending is not what they're going to show me trending necessarily, just so you know. Like, the trends have to do with your interests.
And your location. And
your location and all that stuff. Yeah. So, we're in your sphere, my cousin Vinny was trending. Why? Why was it trending?
See, that's what I'm wondering. When I see something like that, I'm like, did Joe Pesci die? You know, this is the things I'm thinking before I hit click.
Yeah.
To find out why it's trending. Well, it's trending because the list came out today of 1,001 movies you have to see before you die.
1,001? Who's got that kind of time?
These people.
Okay.
IMDb. Well, I mean, IMDb has nothing else going on except movies.
Was My Cousin Vinny number one, or they forget
about it? My Cousin Vinny wasn't on the list.
Oh.
So everybody was bitching about it.
Twitter was mad about that.
Right. So out of 1,001 movies, you couldn't find a place for My Cousin Vinny.
Right.
Which I agree with. But then I go on and I go, okay, so what was on the list of 1,001 movies you have to see before you die? You and I are going to say Idiocracy's got to be on that list.
Is it not on that list at all?
Not in the top 20.
You're not gonna read me the whole 1,001, are you?
Okay, number 1,001.
What is it?
Freddie got fingered. No. I wonder if that movie made the list. Number 20, Forrest Gump.
Number 20.
Number 20. Number 19, Fight Club.
Okay. So far, so good.
So far. Number 18, Blade Runner.
Listen, a lot of people love that movie. It was iconic for them.
It's the 2017 version.
Oh, that's interesting. Wow, really?
Yeah, so people like that one, I guess. I couldn't make it through it.
No, well, that's because it had Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford in it. Everybody loves them.
So that's number 18. Number 16 is the first Blade Runner.
Oh, well, sure, that makes sense.
So that's number 16. Number 15, Goodfellas.
Right.
It's got to be on the list. Number 14.
Got to be, yeah.
The first Independence Day.
Yeah, I'll go for that one. Yeah, I think that one's the better of the, two, three of them?
Yeah. Movies to see before you die. Number 13, The Godfather Part 2.
What? Those were, I'm sorry. I'm not a Godfather fan. 2 and 3 were terrible.
No, 2 was really good. Oh, 3 was terrible. 2 was not bad. Number 12 should be number 1, Pulp Fiction.
Not number 1. That's an important movie to see, I think, especially for a certain generation. That was one of the first movies that I ever bought the entire soundtrack.
Yeah,
that never
what a
happened.
Great soundtrack.
Yeah, great soundtrack. I was like, wow, they really introduced me to a lot of music that was so cool.
Number 11, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, you know, again, for our generation, that is an iconic movie. I don't know that Gen Z is necessarily connecting to the movies that their parents
mm-hmm.
were into.
I love that it only made $27 million, but I've seen it probably 300 times.
Because it's on for free on television, that's why.
Number 10, it made $700 million. You hated it.
Is it one of the Star Wars?
Titanic.
Oh, I hated Titanic. Just even the word, just when you say Titanic, hated it. And you know, and remember, I have to remind everybody, Kate Winslet is my favorite actress on the planet. She can do no wrong. And I rolled my eyes out loud. Somebody took me to see that in the movie theater. And, oh, it was so manipulative and so, like, stupid. And there was so many holes in the story. Oh, it was so hard to watch. Who liked Titanic?
It got 1.4 million votes. Grossed 700 million. You can watch it on Netflix, by the way, right now. Number 9, Inception.
That was a cool movie.
That was a cool movie. So that made number 8, Taxi Driver.
Yeah, see, a lot of the movies that you're mentioning in the top 10 are ones that are really inserted into pop culture. Mm-hmm. People make references to it. If you don't see the movie, you're not going to get a lot of jokes and references that are constantly in video games or on YouTube channels. Like it's really infiltrated our culture. So that's probably why you should see these movies.
The Taxi Driver was a really good movie. It even holds up now. Number 7, The Dark Knight.
Yes, that's the best Batman.
That was with Heath Ledger.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, that was a good one. Number 6, movies you have to see before you die, Star Wars.
Boring.
Stop it. So Shawshank Redemption, number 5. Never seen it.
Oh, what? Are you serious? You never seen Shawshank Redemption?
No, I don't know what that is.
Okay, that's another one of those really important movies because there's references to it. There's iconic moments. Yeah, no, that you have to see. And that was another one it's always on television. It's on, like, you can find it on probably Netflix right now.
It's on
HBO
Max. You
should go watch that one. There you go. Go watch it on HBO Max.
Jurassic Park, number 4, the first one.
Yeah, people love the original one. They love the original of everything, but I don't know. I think some of the Jurassic Parks that have happened since are also pretty good.
Surprising, number 3, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Oh, that's the Brad Pitt.
Margot Robbie.
Quentin Tarantino. Right, Quentin Tarantino. I loved that movie. I don't know that it's one of the movies you should see, one of the top 10 movies you should see before you die. But
it's really good, though.
It, it was quite good. And that's the first time I ever saw Sydney Sweeney, who's one of my favorite actresses from Euphoria. Fucking love her.
Number two, The Godfather, first one. Stop it.
I hate
Stop it.
Godfather and Star Wars. I'm sick of people shoving those movies down my throat. They're not good
movies. There's a good reason for it.
Boring.
Because they're awesome. Number one movie you have to see before you die?
Mean Girls.
Top Gun.
What?
Top Gun.
Where's Mean Girls? I feel like Mean Girls is a much more important movie, certainly for my generation.
No, mean it really Girls is, because is more important than The Godfather.
The Godfather. Yes, that is our Godfather. All of our references on, I can't tell you how often I will open up Instagram and just like a random friend of mine will be at work and they'll be like, on Wednesdays we wear pink, and it's like five people wearing pink. I'm telling you, it really infiltrated the culture in so many ways. I mean, all the gifts that people use from Mean Girls, like all day long, like get in, loser, we're going shopping. It's a really important movie. That should be in the top 10, if not the number one.
Okay. Oh, I'm looking. It's a lot of movies. It's 1,001, so it takes a while to get to. All right. Mean, let's see. It's Mean Streets. Mean Girls did not make the list of 1,001 movies you have to see before you die.
See, that's how you know old people made this list. Old white men
made this list. It did not make the list.
And you know, not to be a dick, but there was not one movie you mentioned in the top 20 movies that stars was made by people of color. There's some really important movies that were made by people of color. And of course, none of those made that list. So fuck this list.
No Mean Girl. It's IMDb.
Yeah, but
so they know movies. That's their job. Pink Flamingos made the list, but Mean Girls didn't.
That's hilarious. So Pink Flamingos, in case you don't know, that's a John Waters movie, and it's disgusting. It's really gross. But it's sort of iconic. But it's really gross.
But it made the list, and
that's funny.
Mean Girls did not.
I'll turn it off.
This girl is the nastiest skank bitch I've ever met. Do not trust her. She is a fugly slut.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Decided to go to the movies. Wanted to see Black Telephone.
Oh, right. You've been saying that you want to see that movie. Okay.
Yeah. So it looks like a very scary movie, a really good movie. Why not go on, I don't know, Saturday night and watch a movie? I haven't been to the movies in forever.
Right. And seeing it on a big screen is probably scarier.
I thought, you know, not COVID time, it wouldn't be that packed. You know, I could actually deal with that. So anyway, walk up to the movie theater to buy the tickets. You have to go in now to buy the tickets.
Okay.
So you have to walk past the front, go in the door, walk into the lobby, get a little thing and buy tickets.
What, even for like a person?
Yeah.
You still have that?
Yeah.
Get out. There's people that sell you tickets at your movie theaters?
No, there's a machine.
Oh, okay.
So
that's
you walk up to
say.
The machine, you hit
that's
the movie, you want the time, and then you slide the credit card.
Swipe your card, yeah.
And it spits out tickets. Which, by the way, nobody checks.
Oh, okay.
So nobody checked my ticket. I could have walked in off the street and just walked right in to the movie theater and saved the $25 that I spent.
Okay, so it's not that they don't check your ticket at all. It's not like I thought you meant like they don't check to see whether you bought a child's ticket.
No, they don't check your ticket at all.
At all. Okay.
No, they could care less that you're there. So I walk up to the front door and I walk in and a lady stops me and says, "Stop, we're evacuating right now."
Why?
I don't know. I didn't ask. But
Wait a minute.
She was like a 14-year-old girl.
Doesn't she know how cheap you are? You just spent $25. You need an explanation.
No, I haven't bought the ticket yet. I walk past the door. I'm going to the machine. I finally get to the machine. She stops me before I touch anything. and says, we're in a lockdown. You have to go wait outside with everybody else. So everybody else was outside. I just thought that's a thing that people do. You just hang out on a Saturday outside the movie theater.
Right. You didn't realize they had been evacuated. You just thought they were just there hanging out.
They're hanging out. So I go back out, and then 5 seconds later, okay, you can go back in. So we can go back in. I'm thinking now, why the hell would I go back in?
Right.
If they said we're evacuating the movie theater, something had to happen.
Right.
To where everybody had to leave. But now I'm going back in, paying the money, and then going. So I pay, I go to the movie, I go to your assigned seat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there. Like 15 teenagers run into the movie theater, run to the back, throw something into the crowd, and it looked like they threw a phone or something.
Okay.
And then they run back out, and then lights come on. It's just, it's a crazy thing going on.
Was this part of the movie? Was this part of like they're doing incense around? Like you're supposed to be scared already before the movie even starts?
I think parents just drop their teenagers off at the movie theater and leave.
Okay.
And pay no attention to them. Your problem, you deal with them.
Right.
So then the whole row behind me is talking in this level the whole time. The movie's
on. Wait a second. They I thought you said like a bunch of teens ran in, threw something, and then they put the lights on. They put the lights back off and
they
start
turn
the movie?
They turned the lights back off when the credits or the commercials ended. Then they turned the lights back off. The movie started. But then all these people are behind me just talking away. Like,
full volume.
Full volume. Playing on her phone, talking. I had to get up, move to the other side of the movie theater, sit in a not assigned seat, you know, waiting to get kicked out because I'm doing a bad thing. Because I just spent like $50 at the movie theater. I want to enjoy it.
Yeah, of course. I'm glad you got up and moved.
But I'm thinking now, why the hell would I go? Yeah, I'll go in. What the hell? Let's just go into the movie theater.
Yeah, that's the difference between you and I. I would not have walked back in. I want an explanation. Why were you evacuating the movie theater? Was there a rat? If someone saw a rat and you were making sure there was no rat, that's fine. I'm good. I'll come back in. But if you had a bomb threat or a death threat and then determined that it was just a prank, I'm sorry. Uh-uh. It's 2022. We live in the midst of a time when, you know, you hear such horror stories. There's no reason to take a risk. I would never take a risk. I'd be like, tell me why you evacuated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bomb threat, I'm going home. Rat, I'll come back in.
But there's like five people working there, and they're all behind the counter, and the wait to get popcorn is like 25 minutes.
Uh-huh.
So there's no way you could talk to anybody that worked there. It was an insane night.
No, there had to be a manager.
No, I don't think so. The way it was ran, it doesn't seem like there was a manager.
Okay, well, if they were not willing to give you an explanation, that was up to you. Why did you stay?
Yeah, and it didn't hit me till today. And I go, why the hell would I do that?
Right.
Wasn't that important? I see that movie.
You know, I feel like that's the difference between living in New York City and living elsewhere in the country. And I don't mean to say like, you know, look, 9/11 affected everybody. It absolutely did. But if you live in New York City and you live through 9/11, your behavior has completely changed. To this day, I still, if I have to go somewhere and dress all nice and get all dressed up, I don't wear my heels to my events anymore. I wear a pair of shoes that I can run in if I have to run. And I bring my heels and I change when I get there. I never did that before. But because of 9/11, my cousin who was working in the towers, he said that he was with women who were only in high heels. They actually stopped on the way running out of the towers. They had to stop at a shoe store to buy sneakers, so because everything shut down, and they walked. They bought sneakers and they walked over the Brooklyn Bridge together, all of them. But they couldn't walk. He said one girl he offered to carry her, but when you saw the pictures of the people with the dust on their head because the building was coming down on them, that was my cousin. He walked home with dust on his head with his coworkers who just bought new sneakers and carried their heels with them. So that's completely changed our behavior here in New York. So the minute we walk in somewhere and anyone says, we're evacuating, I'm sorry, no one's coming back in your movie theater. You use the word evacuating, good luck getting butts in the seats after that. I think that's the difference between where you live and where I live. The minute I hear we're evacuating, I'm going home. I'm not waiting outside to see if you're going to let us back in. You're evacuating, I'm home.
It didn't occur to me till today. Yeah. I went, man, I'm stupid. It could have been anything going on.
Yeah.
I said, enjoy your final time at the movie theater. I'm never going back. I'm not dealing with that.
No, no. It's not about going back to the movie theater. The movie theater is not unsafe. But any large facility, any corporate facility where they tell you they've evacuated, I mean, you're welcome to wait outside. I wouldn't. I would have gone. I would just left. That's the thing. The fact that all those people waited outside to be allowed back in, that's the real mystery to me. I'd be in my car. I would, the minute they finished the word evacuate, before they even got to the shun part, I'd be in my car halfway home.
I mean, the whole experience from beginning to end was a nightmare. So I ain't going back.
Why did you leave your house?
I don't know. I really wanted to see this movie. I read the reviews. People loved it, said it was really good.
Was it worth it? Was it worth the $50?
It was a really good movie.
Okay.
Was it worth dying and paying $50? No.
But no, you didn't die. Nobody died.
Nobody died. Well, in the movie.
Well, yeah.
People died. But I'm here to say no dogs died in the movie, so you should like that.
Oh, then I will see it.
Only right, well, kids. I'm... Kids died.
Yeah, with a kid, you can make another. There's a website, Does the Dog Die? And before we watch any new movie, my boyfriend goes through that because I can't even look at the website. That's how upsetting it is to me.
You can't even go there to see if it's safe.
So he checks it to make sure if it's safe before we go to any movies or watch any movies. Because they tell you, does the dog die and what scene the dog dies? That way, if it's a movie you really want to see or have to see. Like, there are shows that my boyfriend's been like, oh, this is such a great series, but a dog dies the first episode, she's not going to see it. So he'll cue it up to after the dog death and be like, start watching this series from here.
I've already worked it out for you.
Yeah, don't ask questions about what happened prior to the scene that you're about to see.
You know how we do it.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Did you hear that Elon Musk had secret twins with an executive at his company? Yeah, you should use that sound effect. This, you're going to need it a lot during this story. Because here's the thing. He has 9 children now in total.
Mm-hmm.
Where's my dun-dun-dun?
There that, you go.
So he's got 9 kids. Now let's review some of his children for a second, because this is leading somewhere. This isn't just gossiping about Elon Musk. This is actually something that we need to talk about. Not really a game show, but
I guess to him it is.
Okay, so he has 9 kids. He has Vivian, who is the one, I think Vivian is the one who just denounced him. I think Vivian is the one that decided that she wanted to have nothing to do with him anymore. That wanted it. She's now Vivian Wilson. She took the name Musk away.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the 2 kids that he has with Grimes,
C-3PO
and with the one that they call X and the other one that they call Y.
Mm-hmm.
Another kid named Griffin, another kid named Nevada, Damien, Kai, Saxon, and now he's got these twins that we just found out about. Right? I think he's got 10 children. I said 9, but I think he has 10. And then he's also... and he's also the father of Amber Heard's baby.
No.
Did you know that?
I had no idea. Yeah. I thought she had dogs. I didn't know she had kids.
she has a daughter with Elon Musk. Remember, they were together briefly, but now we've learned that they weren't together. I think she took it to be more than it was, but he has, I don't know if he has, but people are saying today that he has a breeding kink.
What is that?
Okay, so of course, as soon as I heard that, I had to do a deeper dive into it, because I thought if we're going to be talking about Elon Musk having 10 children with, I think, nine different women, however many women. So, okay, so the breeding kink is an intense sexual attraction to the idea of getting pregnant or getting somebody else pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's actually having a moment right now. There's this whole thing on TikTok of people that are into it. Like, there's a whole subsection of TikTok of people that consider themselves breeding kinkers. There's a WebMD article on breeding fetishes.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire genre of horror movies and documentaries that have been coming out over the past couple of years. Seriously.
That's a horror movie. 10 kids, horror movie. That's scary as hell.
Well, no, about unethical fertility doctors secretly fathering hundreds of kids.
Oh, yeah.
So we've seen documentaries about that, and that's also a subject of horror films. And that's all related to the breeding kink. But this is even... right. Now, but if you look at Elon Musk, here's what he tweeted just today.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Doing my best to help the underpopulation crisis. A collapsing birth rate is the biggest danger civilization faces by far."
He's got a point, but he doesn't need to repopulate the world with his sperm.
Well, why not him?
I'm trying to figure out who has more kids. Does he have more kids, or Nick Cannon, Alec Baldwin, or Eddie Murphy?
Ooh, okay, so Alec Baldwin, I think she's pregnant again. So Alec Baldwin has a total of 8 kids.
Is that pre-new wife, too?
No, he only had Ireland.
Oh, okay.
And then he and this new wife, I think together they have 7 kids, and now maybe they're 8, so maybe he'll have 9 kids once they're done. Nick Cannon has 10 kids.
Eddie Murphy has 10, I think.
He doesn't have the most. Isn't there like a football player that has like 15 children?
Number one, Clint Eastwood.
How many he got?
Literary meal. He has 8 children.
No, please.
Yeah, that
Elon Musk is half his age, and he already is a 10.
Eddie Murphy, 10.
Right.
Shaquille O'Neal, he's got 5. That's nothing. Mia Farrow, it's got 14.
Well, that's a little different because Mia Farrow only gave birth to like 2. The rest are adopted. Not that I'm... Listen, adopted children are children. That's fine. We're talking about the breeding fetish. So the idea is getting pregnant or getting somebody else pregnant. I'm not saying that Mia Farrow's children aren't her children or aren't legitimate. What I'm saying is this is about actually becoming pregnant. That's what the fetish is about.
James Vanderbeek has 4 daughters. And a son. So that means he's got 5.
Still not enough.
Enough.
It's great. Not enough.
Madonna's got 6.
But only, again, I think she only has 1, maybe 2 that are biological.
Mm-hmm.
2 biological and the rest are adopted. Again, great. Happy they're adopting. These are people with resources that can give kids that would have had a really shitty life a fantastic life, like a better life than you and me and anyone listening. But I'm talking about this breeding fetish where people have this desire to get somebody else pregnant or to become pregnant themselves.
The Nick Cannon thing.
So then the next thing that Elon Musk tweeted, this is a whole thing that he has going. USA birth rate has been below minimum sustainable levels for 50 years. And then he put the Wall Street Journal total fertility rate chart up.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, "Watch the opening scene of Idiocracy." I love that he gets us. "When I ask my friends why they're not having kids yet, very few are. It sounds exactly like the movie." And it's all the Idiocracy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he keeps having children with all these different women is very interesting because he has the resources. This is just a classist thing. Because if you're a billionaire, You can have as many kids as you want with as many women as you want, and nobody judges you. In fact, they look at you and go, oh, that's awesome. You know, you're going to give all these kids a better life than I am living right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have everything they've ever wanted. They're going to have education if they want it. They're going to have a place to live, food to eat.
Water, food, clothes. They have everything they need.
Right. But if you look at somebody who's like super poor and doesn't have a lot of money and they have 10 kids, people judge them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what are you doing having 10 kids if you can't afford it? Do you know what I mean? So this is such a classist thing. Not that I'm saying Elon Musk shouldn't be having kids, but the conversation today is, does he have a breeding fetish? Because he does keep getting random women pregnant. You know, the people that you're judging, they at least have 10 kids with usually the same person or a couple of different people.
Mm-hmm.
He's literally having two here, one there, two here. Think about it. He's weird. He's a weird guy. Like when you hear him talk, he's very smart, but he's like really odd.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that the last two kids he had, he gave them these weird ass names that they now just call them X and Y.
Yeah, so he's breeding 10 hims. Weird.
Although the twins he had with this executive, first of all, he had the twins in November. We're just finding out about it now because I think it was the insider. Somebody did like a deep dive into legal documents where he's on the document as the father, and they uncovered this. So this was like, this isn't new information for him. This is just new to us. She gave birth in November. Look how long it took us to find out.
And it was somebody that worked for him.
Yes, I wonder if he approached her and said, listen, I really believe in repopulating the world. You are beautiful and smart, and I think you have good genes and good genetics, and I think you and I together could have great, the kids can be, you know, superstars, and I will pay for everything. Whatever you need, I will pay for those kids. And I'm sure they drew up documents and it's all legal. You know, if he got Amber Heard pregnant, he's got to know that he had to draw up some legal, serious legal documents with her because she's fucking bananas.
I wonder what kind of people think that far ahead. Like, I want to help repopulate the world because in 50 years, there's not going to be enough people. I don't think past my own life.
Right.
So I'm thinking in 10 years, I could care less. Let the world go to hell. I don't care.
Right.
But there's people like him who want to better the world, and good for them. But I don't understand it.
I don't know that it's about bettering the world. I think it's totally, it's one thing. Listen, if you love somebody and you want to have children with them and you want to raise children because you truly love children and want them to have a nice life, that's very different. But the idea that you, it's your job to repopulate the earth, that's just narcissism. Mm-hmm. More you. If you're so into repopulating the earth, there's a lot of people out there and women out there that are infertile and go to fertility clinics. Why don't you go pay for them to have babies? Why do you have to be the one to keep fucking hundreds of women and having as many kids as you possibly can just because you're a billionaire and you can afford it? That's what I'm saying. It's such a classist thing. Like, if he didn't have money, would he still feel that way?
He might be a bigger narcissist than you.
Yeah, he is. Surprisingly, he is. And the interesting thing about his narcissism is that he's got the money to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
He's made so much money that he can't spend it in one lifetime. So part of it is, you've made all this money. Listen, he came from money. It's not like, he's not one of these guys that like Bezos or who was I reading about today?
Bill Gates.
Not Gates, but there was somebody else that was talking about like how they came from nothing and now they've made it.
Mm-hmm.
It was some celebrity was comparing himself to Bezos and saying, yeah, you know, I came from nothing. That's not Elon Musk. Elon Musk came from money. But he's made more money than he can spend in a lifetime. So what is he doing to protect his money? Having children to make sure that money goes towards his family members. God forbid it goes towards, you know, us peons or the great unwashed.
Mm-hmm. Well, he can save money because one of his daughters doesn't want his money. So there you go. He can split it nine ways, not 10.
Hello? Check. Everybody hear me?
More like cockroaches than human beings. Cockroaches, they only live in the darkness of the suffering of others.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
Cockroaches.
When I lived in New York, we used to pick on New York drivers all the time.
Yeah.
Because people in New York cannot drive.
Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. It is a driving culture, but not like other cities, you know, because we also have public transportation. Mm-hmm. So most people in New York that drive, they don't drive every day. They just drive once in a while. So, you know, we're not real drivers.
But when they drive, it's not good.
Yeah, for the most part, it's not good.
It's not good driving. And then when we throw New Jersey in there, New Jersey people cannot drive.
Yeah, they can't drive in New Jersey either.
Yeah, New Jersey, you just yell at them. The minute you see the license plate, you go, you can't drive.
Every time I'm in the city and I'm driving and somebody does some dumbass thing, like I was driving the other day and I was coming up to a green light and this guy in front of me was like weaving. He was going to the right. He was going to the left. He wasn't signaling. I don't know what he was doing. And I realized he was on his fucking phone and he just sort of like swerved in front of me and then decided to make a right out of nowhere just into traffic. Mm-hmm. And of course, I look and I see, yep, Jersey.
Jersey.
Jersey driver.
So Jersey on the maps with the worst drivers, Jersey is 46.
Oh my God, that's very low. So I mean they're good drivers.
Exactly.
You're
New
kidding.
York, New York, 43.
What?
43. So that tells you where the bad, they say those are good drivers.
That's pretty shocking.
South Carolina, number 4.
That's where you live.
The worst drivers, number 4.
Wait, so
Mississippi,
where you live
number
has worse
1.
Drivers than here.
Yeah, no, by far, you are number 43. South Carolina is number 4.
I don't get it. What's the criteria? You got to give me a little more information here. What's the criteria?
DUIs, fatalities, if you have insurance or not.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a whole different thing.
So in South Carolina, 11% of the drivers do not have insurance.
Oh, my God. How can you drive without insurance?
11%.
Wow, that's really high. That's a lot of fucking people.
No, Mississippi, 30% of the people are uninsured.
So when they get into accidents, they just go, sorry.
Yeah, so if you get hit and it's not your fault, you're still paying.
Right.
Because that person is uninsured.
Wow.
New York, only 4% of people don't have insurance.
Yeah, that sounds right. And I'd like to say it's because the insurance is cheaper here, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's crazy expensive there.
Yeah.
But if you live in Arkansas, 20% of people, 1 out of 4 you pass, do not have insurance.
I don't get that. How do you get in a car with no insurance and think, yeah, I'm good?
They do. That's that's what scares the hell out of me. Like when we got into an accident, I said, that idiot better have insurance.
What if he didn't? What would have happened then?
Then it's got to come back on me. I have to make sure I have uninsured insurance on my car that will cover, but I still have to pay deductible and all that.
But then we'd sue the guy. And the guy can't even afford car insurance. What are we suing him for? What are we going to take? His shoes? You know what I mean? What's there to take anymore? If you don't have enough money for car insurance, how do they allow you to drive without car insurance?
They don't. That's the thing. But in Mississippi, 30%.
That's shocking.
And 3 people out of 1,000 get a DUI.
Okay, so driving without insurance, I kind of understand, especially in a state like Mississippi, where people are not making any money, they can't afford insurance, and they have to drive to
work.
But
then you can't drive, though.
I know, but they have to drive to work because there are no buses that go there. They don't have public transportation. That I kind of understand because it's sort of an indictment of the poor. That I get. But a DUI, that's 100% in your wheelhouse. Like, that's your responsibility. You can very easily not get behind the wheel of a car. That's bullshit. If you're getting behind the wheel of a car drunk, I don't give a fuck how much money you have or don't have, you should be fucking shot. That's the most dangerous thing in the world. And people die. People maim other people. That's I hate that more than anything. Of all the things that drivers do, driving while intoxicated, I will call the cops on you every time.
Yeah, in Tennessee, 4 out of 1,000 get a DUI. 24% don't have insurance.
Again, okay, so the no insurance thing in some of the poorer states, I kind of understand.
Yeah, but that's the law. I mean, I'm sorry. When I'm driving and you can hit me, that's the law.
All right, let me ask you a question. Maybe they're driving very carefully. What if you live in a small rural town in Mississippi and the job you get is a few towns away, there's no public transportation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take 8 buses to get to your job. I mean, the bus schedule doesn't work like that. You have to be at your job by 9 a.m. There's no way to do it. So you drive a car without insurance, you can get to work.
What happens if you really hurt somebody bad and you wreck and they're in a hospital for months and months and months?
And they sue you.
Yeah. I mean, you can't drive without insurance.
Yeah.
Have somebody else drive you. I don't know. You cannot get behind the wheel of your car without insurance. 1 out of 4 people? That's crazy. I don't care what your situation is.
They need the insurance version of healthcare. Like, if you don't have money here in New York, you can get on Obamacare, Medicare, Medicaid, that kind of thing. We need the insurance version of that. If you don't have enough money to pay for insurance because whatever you're making is going right towards your home and your bills and your food and taking care of your kids, there should be, like, some kind of supplemental program. Like, you get food stamps, you should get, like, car insurance stamps.
This is not live. It's like a rerun.
It's a rerun.
It's the Cooper and Anthony Show.
Blender Magazine decided they'd put out their worst song of all time list. And all the editors got together and they somehow all came up with one particular song that all voted was the worst song of all time. You want to guess what it is?
I know what it is.
Chad, you want to guess?
Oh, I know. Yeah, I get Blender. Yeah, the list itself came out a while ago, but they're just doing this stunt now.
Okay, so I'm such an idiot. The worst song, according to Blender Magazine, is We Built This City. You going to play it?
Hit it.
I'm looking for it.
Oh, Christ's sake. You know, you knew we were going to be talking about it.
I know, and I thought I figured this radio station had Starship and the thing, but it doesn't.
We don't have it in the system?
We don't have that song in the system.
Okay, look,
there's a surprise on my face.
We Built the City on Rock and Roll. That's a song, right?
Yes.
Okay. Everybody knows that song at this point, but they have decided that it's the worst song ever.
There used to be a version, you know, in the single version, there's the DJ that's rapping. It's another gorgeous sunny Saturday in your favorite radio city, the city by the bay, the city that rocks, the city that never stops. That one. You know that part?
Yeah.
There was a version that didn't have that, and I used to play that and do my own rap over that instrumental part. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. For torture. What was your rap? Do you remember what you used to say?
I don't. Yeah, I'm sure it was just completely moronic.
Yeah, it's such a shame you don't remember. So here's what they decided to do, Blender Magazine. They're doing this big publicity stunt, and they've assigned an editor to set a world record for repeatedly listening to the worst song ever. He's going to be in a plexiglass booth at the Best Buy in, I think this is the New York Post, so it must be somewhere in New York. Actually, it's tonight. And it's going to be played 324 times over a grueling 24 hours.
So
For 24 hours straight, he's going to listen to this song. Yeah. You want to turn that up for us?
This isn't anywhere close to the worst song ever.
There's worse, right?
Oh, there's far worse.
What would you say is the worst song ever?
Boy.
What?
I would
there's
say
so many.
Pretty much anything by Celine Dion. Right. Or Michael Bolton.
So torture for you would be 24 minutes, but 24 hours of listening to anything by Celine
Dion. If I had to listen to that Titanic song for 24 hours straight, oh.
Yeah, that would make me crazy also.
For me, it's got to be this.
The Proclaimers.
This song.
I like this song.
See, it makes me mental.
I can hear it once, but for 324 times, I don't think I can hear it.
Yeah, the novelty songs are the worst because after listening to them a couple times, it just, like, for example, like Mickey. To listen to Mickey, if you hear it once, like, oh, that's great, 80s, woohoo. But then if you had to listen to it over and over for 24 consecutive hours, you couldn't live. It would probably kill you.
Okay, so worst song of all time that you could not listen to 24 hours straight, and you would absolutely jump off a cliff or off a building or off of something that you would absolutely make sure you were dead. 877-6-COOPER, worst song of all time. Yeah, you're right. It's kind of cute right now, but if I heard it a second time, I would start shaking. By the third time, I'd probably, yeah, you're right about that. I don't think I can handle it any more than that.
Oh!
There you go.
Oh.
That one.
Anthony's making the Hell compilation CD.
We should do that. We should be how you make, like, mixtapes of people that you love.
Yeah.
We should make a mixtape of people that we hate.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Something grabs a hold of me tightly.
Okay, no, you don't know the words to this. Oh,
yes,
you
know every word to that song. I know that everyone to bust a move, too.
You do. you know, I think the worst song, what would really drive me crazy hearing over and over? Mbop.
Mbop?
Yeah. Mbop. Ba-do-ba-do-ba-mbop. I mean, if I had to hear that once. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, 324 times in a row to hear this song. And you know what? I think I'm not alone. You might want to keep playing that because I think there's other people that might feel this way.
You might, you don't know.
Now, this is Reed's favorite song.
Oh, who said that now? I will never have that be my favorite song.
Well, I see you're calling to request it.
Request it? Absolutely not. I thought I was listening to the right radio show. Maybe I got the wrong telephone number. I'm surprised you guys have that in your records.
We don't have We Built the City, but we got this.
All right, whose car do you steal that from?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, this is definitely one of the most awful songs. Yeah, and you know what? Reed and I both would run screaming. We both cannot. Okay, enough. We don't even want to hear it this long. You're already. Okay, Anthony.
Okay, there you go.
It's getting on my nerves already.
Okay.
Let alone 324 times. Now, Wally.
Yes?
Did you enjoy the movie Anchorman?
I have not seen Anchorman. Work too much.
I'm going to recommend you don't see Anchorman.
But let me guess, the song is in it.
Several times.
Oh, no. I couldn't see Anchorman then.
Oh, Wally loves this song.
No. There was a movie a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had a scene where the, like, alumni and the board of the college was in a major room, and one of the college students walked in, cranked this song all the way up, locked the door to the stereo compartment, and then locked everybody in the room. And I thought, that's
torture
on earth.
And you know what? These guys won the Grammy for Best New Artist in 1976.
Well, it was 76. Oh, everybody was high back then. I didn't know.
There we go.
Hey, Anthony.
Yeah.
This is Dr. Bob, by the way.
Hey, buddy, what's up?
That's, you know, that I think the movie you're talking about, Wally, is PCU.
Yep.
That was PCU. That was an excruciating scene. Yeah, this song for 324 times in a row for 24 hours, too hard to listen to.
Yeah. There's a lot of those kind of mellow 70s-ish songs that would fit the bill like that, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even like, once like you sort of don't
Horse
really
with
like
No
it.
Name or Tin yeah. Man or
exactly. Yeah,
anything
you know
by Leo Sayer.
Anything by Leo Sayer. Hi, Alicia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Now, what's the one song that you would not want to listen to 24 hours straight because you just hate it?
I can narrow it down to about the top three. I'd say if I had to choose number one, I guess it would be Macarena.
Oh, no, the Macarena. I forgot about the Macarena.
And then you've got Mambo Number 5.
That's bad, too.
Oh, Lou Bega.
And then that new Frog remix song. You know what I'm talking about?
Which one?
Some remix, and it's like a frog, and I don't even know.
Oh, this sounds familiar. I think I tuned it out, though. Yeah,
Lou Bega's Mambo Number 6 is due to release any day now.
Oh, no.
I'm still waiting for 1 through 4. Yeah.
Just for Alicia. Just for her.
bang.
Yeah, the Macarena. I think that's
that
a good
would drive you insane.
That would drive you insane.
10 seconds of that.
Oh. Yeah, that's. I don't think that's legal. I don't think you can legally play the Macarena twice in a row. I don't think it's legal to
do
that.
It should be banned from all wedding dances, too.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
No, that's enough.
No, you're not. No, this is... Somebody call 911, because I don't think that's legal. That is not legal. Now, Jared.
Yes, ma'am.
If I was to torture you, if I was to throw you in a room and put one song on 324 times, let's say, what song would that be?
It was a song called by the Crash Test Dummies. It was sort of catchy.
You mean this? You mean this gem?
That horrible song.
This lovely, wonderful gem.
I love this song.
Of course you do, Chad.
It's very sad.
I don't know what.
If you saw the music video for it, you'd be even more depressed.
I actually saw these guys in concert.
No, you did not.
I did, I swear to God. And the funny thing is, they had alternate lyrics.
Yep, the alternate lyric was a curse.
It was the filthiest curse words you could think for. And then they sang it in the concert. It was great.
It must have been. It would have been a better song that way.
And they had like 75 verses that they wrote, and they the song lasted like 15 minutes, and they were pretty funny actually.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that Sean Lee was at that show. I married him anyway.
Did you really?
I don't know what I was thinking.
He likes the Crash Test Dummies too?
Apparently he did back in the day. He was in that Memphis. There's nothing else to... It's Memphis. There's nothing else to do. You go to music.
Right.
He's got that cool, deep voice. Whoa.
Oh, that there was this girl.
Okay. Now, Mandy.
Yes.
What would you say is the worst song of all time?
I hated it the very first time I heard it, and I've hated it ever since. Thank goodness I probably haven't heard it in about 10 years. But that is... Achy Breaky Heart.
Oh, you know what? A little revival for you. I know it's been 10 years, but there you go, Mandy. Our gift to you.
Oh, thanks.
Greatest mullet ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started a real fashion don't, didn't he?
Yes, that's all I can think of. The mullet and, like, the plaid shirt.
Right. And the sleeves rolled up, and yeah, right. It was really sexy.
And he kind of started that whole horrific line dancing craze too, didn't he?
Yeah.
I think so.
So between the mullet, the line dancing, and the song, those are crimes against humanity.
It really is. Yeah, he's a triple threat. Thank you, Mandy. Thank you. I agree with you 100%.
She was going to say her worst song she wouldn't want to hear was Mandy.
Yeah.
Oh, Mandy.
You know, she's sick of hearing that.
Or, you're a fine wine, what a good wife you would be.
That's right. Brandy. You know, she's probably sick
Brandy.
Of that.
That's Brandy. Yeah.
That's Brandy. But it rhymes with Mandy, and I'm sure she's sick of that
close
as well.
Enough.
You know. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm fine.
So now, if I was to, if you and I would do a little publicity stunt together, and that publicity stunt was seeing what song we can listen to that we hate, but we can listen to it 324 times, what song do you hate enough that we would probably really go out of our minds?
Oh, I couldn't listen to it 324 times, but that song, I Can't Dance by Phil Collins.
Oh, I know that one.
Oh, that song is so bad.
Oh, there you go. I didn't have to know it. Anthony has it ready to go.
And now it's going to be stuck in my head all night.
Yeah, that's the worst part, Anthony. All these awful songs, he'll be walking around all day Saturday.
Yeah, he sounds like he's in pain when he's like, I can't dance. I can't.
I can't write songs. That's what it should be called. yeah, Don, I agree with you. That's another bad one. And, you know, and here's the worst part. The worst part is that we actually have this song. We've played it for you. And now, tomorrow, we've ruined your weekend.
Exactly.
Susu Studio's bad, too. I don't think I want to hear that.
Susu Studio rules.
That's a great song.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Donna, do you like Susu Studio?
No, I hate that one. I hate all Phil Collins.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't get Phil Collins.
Now, you can't say every Phil Collins song, because this is still the greatest Phil Collins song ever.
He's a great drummer.
In the Air Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll give you this.
Okay. Yeah, you got to give up.
Donna
that
and
song.
I will give you this. But again, we don't want to hear this more than once. Not more than once. Let alone 324 times. Now, Ken, you and I are going to have words.
Oh, don't
I see it coming already.
Cooper, don't tell me you're another one.
Tell me what band you're going to tell me that you cannot listen to. You think it's the worst band on the face of the earth.
Well, every time it comes on, if I can't just change the radio station, I'll just shoot the radio. anything and everything by U2.
You're kidding.
Shut up, Anthony. I'll beat you in the head.
Everything by U2.
Yeah.
There's not one U2 song you can handle. What about the stuff from the 80s, the early U2 stuff?
It don't make any difference. Stuck from the beginning, it ain't got no better.
It came out of pain. They suffered in Belfast. People died.
Well, the wrong one died.
Oh, no. They should have gotten that Bono film.
Bono's a great humanitarian.
Now, I'm going to tell you what's the truth. Now, there's been other bands that were the same way that I felt the same way about. And I would sit down and go through the music and try to learn to like them or understand why I didn't like them and then fix it. I sit down with that Joshua Tree CD, and I cussed for 2 solid hours.
Which is still one of the greatest CDs ever put on plastic.
It could be the single best CD released in the 80s.
Wait, Ken, who do you like?
People that have talent, yeah.
Who's your favorite musician? Who's your favorite band?
I don't know. I'm so wide diverse. I like the older stuff, like the old jazz and stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay, you're a jazz guy. Okay, you can't argue with that. Jazz is classic.
Jazz and Ashley Simpson.
No, this is what Ken likes.
Yeah, turn it up.
I love this. That's good stuff.